I didn't know what email was until I got to college. I'd heard of email and knew that in some sense I would have it. "You'll be so fancy," said my mother's sister, who had married a computer scientist, "sending your emails." She emphasized the E and paused before mail. That summer, I heard email mentioned with increasing frequency. "Things are changing so fast," my father said. "Today at work, I surfed the World Wide Web. One second, I was in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. One second later, I was in Anıtkabir. Anıtkabir, Atatürk's mausoleum, was located in Ankara." I had no idea what my father was talking about, but I knew there was no meaningful sense in which he had been in Ankara that day, so I didn't really pay attention. On the first day of college, I stood in line behind a folding table and eventually received an email address and temporary password. The address had my last name in it, Karada, but all lowercase and without the Turkish silent G. From an early age, I'd understood that a silent G was funny. "The G is silent," I would say, in a weary voice, and it was always hilarious. I didn't understand how the email address was an address, or what it was short for. "What do we do with this? Hang ourselves?" I asked, holding up the Ethernet cable. "You plug it into the wall," said the girl behind the table. Insofar as I'd had any idea about it at all, I'd imagined that email would resemble faxing and would involve a printer. But there was no printer. There was another world. You could access it from certain computers which were scattered throughout the ordinary landscape and looked no different from regular computers. Always there, unchanged, in a configuration nobody else could see, was a glowing list of messages from all the people you knew and from people you didn't know, all in the same letters, like the universal handwriting of thought or of the world. Some messages were formally epistolary, with "dear" and "sincerely," others telegraphic, all in lowercase with missing punctuation, like they were being beamed straight from people's brains. And each message contained the one that had come before, so your own words came back to you. All the words you threw out, they came back. It was like the story of your relations with others. The story of the intersection of your life with other lives was constantly being recorded and updated, and you could check it at any time.